woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by our friends at Darton Archery in Hale, Michigan. Now, get what I'm saying here. Michigan, Hale, Michigan, makers of the Toxin 150 SS crossbow. Just got mine out the other day. Absolutely. I love the new design. Love the on the SST. Love the pistol grip, the adjustable pistol grip on the Toxin. And again, doing a fine job. And of course, I still have my DS700 vertical compound bow that I'm shooting. So I have the option to shoot both. Also, want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. And, of course, you've been diligently watching everything that's been going on with the baiting and feeding rules here in Michigan. Lucky Buck has also, and all that info is on their website, lucky-buck.com, to tell you when and where you can use the mineral here in Michigan and in other states. And also being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses, born on the water, and definitely the purest and cleanest lenses you will find out there for the fishing and hunting world. Now, it's not often anymore, and this is sad, that I get excited about a lot of things in the outdoors industry. There's a lot of, you know, game changers and something that'll change the way we hunt and this and that and the other. It's hard to get excited about that stuff, but when you've been dealing with somebody like a good friend, the deer professor, Doug Roberts, for the past 10 years of this show, we've watched Conquest Sense evolve. We've watched Evercom evolve. We've watched VS1 become probably one of the best, definitely the best scent out there for the rut. And now, Doug, I'm not even going to use those two words that I don't like, but this is something breakthrough that I don't think anybody has done. And welcome, man. Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense joins us. Also, the TV show Conquest 200 joins us here on Wild Michigan.
Hey, good morning, Duran. How you doing?
Good, man. You've been our go-to guy for whitetail deer, our whitetail deer expert since the first, the beginning of this show. Yeah. And 10 years ago, and we have learned tons, not only about, how to hunt, but the habits of white-tailed deer. And there's that magical time of year called the rut, and it's really kind of a crapshoot when it comes to knowing when to use your estrus sense and the like. And I think now you've really found a way to define that timeline.
Yeah, we've been for the last 4 years working on a new product because you're right. The rut varies from year to year based on weather conditions. And understanding that when people say the rut is on, that means that the does are coming into heat. The bucks have been ready and they've been looking for those does, but hunters always want to know when the rut hit because it's the highest activity in 24 hours that a buck's going to move. So if you're limited on time as a hunter to hunt, that's when you'd want to be in the woods. So what we've been working on is a product called Heat Seeker. And what this product will do is it's a solution that actually detects estrus pheromones through the air. So what this will do for a hunter is it will help them identify specifically when the does in the area they're hunting are in heat, and it's never been done before. There's never been anything on the market like this. It's actually going to create a new category in the scent industry, like Evercom and VS1 did.
Now, this is something I've known about for like 4 months and maybe longer, and this has been the hardest secret to keep in my life. I can't even begin to tell you. And now that we get to share this first foremost here on Wild Michigan, this is what makes me so excited, is because now we know when exactly to use our scents. Look, there's been guys that have been hunting, and you can judge by the what a doe is doing, how she's acting if she's in heat. But if she's not going to be in your area, then what's the sense? I mean, it's very difficult to pinpoint. Now you have this opportunity.
Yep, exactly. You know, I'm so excited, and it's funny because this literally is the first time that we have talked publicly about this product, and it's a product we're going to launch for 2017. We're still running tests on it this fall, but it's one of those that you can find a scrape, or you can go to where you have a feed station, if you're allowed to have a feed station, where you have high traffic of does, or very, very well-run trails, and put this product down, and it basically, the product will, we create an umbrella over this, and it captures that air. And if there's any estrus pheromones that are in that air, it will react and change color. And so a hunter, no matter where you're hunting across this country, can identify specifically that there are does in heat right then and there. You know the rut is on. There's no more guessing to when the rut starts. Even more specifically, when is that second and third rut? That's harder to define than the first one, and now hunters can define them specifically with the heat seeker.
Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense joining us here on Wild Michigan. You can find a link to Conquest Sense on our website, find a link directly to Doug on our Meet the Experts page. And Doug, this is something that, look, we've been guessing. We don't have the, let's just put it this way. We don't have the olfactory system that a whitetail has. Their sense of smell is far greater and far more tuned than ours. They already know when a doe is in heat in their area. But having something like this, it almost puts us on that same level of playing field as the whitetail buck.
You know, it's funny you say that because I've had a couple, like our marketing people, have said that exact same thing. Because our noses aren't near as good as a whitetail's, this product actually can identify those does in heat just like a buck does, that scent trail, that urine that's left in a scrape. And it just really allows hunters, it gives them confidence, and it tells them, when do I want to be hunting all of the time, all day long? So it's a great product. And the cool thing about this, it works on whitetail, mule deer, blacktail, and elk.
Man.
Those specific species. So it's not just a specific whitetail product, but it works on all of those. And, you know, the name, it's always hard coming up with a name, but I think the name nailed it, that you are looking for a doe that's in heat, and so it's called Heat Seeker.
Well, you know, and that of course, just pretty much says it all. When you told me the name just the other day, I got to find out the name. I'm like, oh my God, that's so perfect. I hate you.
There's
a lot of dislike when it comes to Doug Roberts, I tell you. I mean, and I mean that in the kindest of ways. You know that, man. You and Karen both know that it's a nothing but a love fest. And Heat Seeker is an incredible name. It's going to be an incredible product. And we've got so much to cover on this show today with Doug. And we're going to talk about this. And also, I mean, and you're running right now. You said you're running crazy, putting Evercalm together and getting ready. And you're not even at the VS1 stage yet.
No, we're just synchronizing for VS1. Actually, because we can synchronize and force them in the heat, we actually have one collection done. So VS1 is available now. You know, we're able to resynchronize these deer, but it's all based on temperature. So the weather, as it's cooling down, actually it works very well. If the temperature goes back up, it shuts us down. And that's why it's a limited supply every year. You know, VS1 for 12 straight years is sold out. And so get it if you can, because once it's gone, it's gone.
All right. Doug Roberts is our guest. He is with Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm, also VS1, and now the Heat Seeker. We're going to talk more about the Heat Seeker next. It's Wild Michigan, being brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Another great Michigan company here on the Wild Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host, being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses, the clearest lenses on the planet, born on the water. Love my Costas. Go to wildmichiganradio.com. That's our website where you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and everywhere else. And you can get a link right to Costa Sunglasses, as well as all of our other great friends and sponsors of the show. Speaking with Doug Roberts with Conquest Sense here, and we were promised the first time interview. We're getting the first time interview in regards to the Heat Seeker, the new product that will allow you to put out in the woods and identify if there is doe in heat in your area. Doug, that is crazy, because, look, I don't care how good you are, it's still a guessing game. It's still a guessing game that we have to play and find out if it's advantageous for us to use our sense, our VS1, you know, in this case, while hunting.
And just, when do you maximize the time in the woods? That's I have so many people call me and go, you know, hey, we're heading out of state, we're going to go hunt Wisconsin or Kansas. When's the rut going to hit? And it varies from year to year. It could vary a week. Last year it was actually a week late. Wisconsin, the whole northern half of the state was in full rut. The southern half hadn't even started yet. This product, the Heat Seeker, will identify those in heat. So every hunter now knows for sure the rut is on in the area they're hunting. It just specifically identifies the rut.
Now, this, let's say hypothetically, VS1, you know, you're using VS1. Can that trigger the Heat Seeker if you have VS1 up? Is it possible, because you have pheromones in VS1, can it trigger that also?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, if somebody bought this product and they want to test to see if it really works, they could simply put some VS1 out, put the test strip next to it, and they're gonna see that it just changes to bright red because it's detecting those estrus pheromones through the air. And again, we're supplying this piece of plastic that you capture the air basically like over a scrape. By capturing that air, it reacts much faster because you don't have wind changes and wind currents. But it will detect any estrus pheromones wherever it is if they touch that solution.
Now, it would seem also that you could probably be your own little, you know, closet scientist and test whatever scent you're using, you know, to see if it's got real estrus pheromones in it or not.
I guess you could, you know. We know what our products are. We know what this product does and what it's going to do for hunters. But yeah, theoretically, I guess a hunter could test anything he wanted. But it's out on the market.
Right. Well, I remember a number of years ago, we had the CWD issue on a private facility, on a fenced-in facility. And there was this talk of, you know, you can't put out product that has actual deer, you know, parts, urines, or whatever on the market. And there was a company that I called out, flat out, saying, you can't put that out. It's you know, and well, we're putting it out anyway. Then it's not 100%. It's got to be synthetic. And I got into a big argument, and let's just put it this way. I was about to lose my show over calling this company out, as someone else has in the past. Right. So I will leave it at that.
Yeah, when that all happened, they came to our farm. We were under 24-hour surveillance. Nothing could leave this farm. It shut the scent company down. Of course, they didn't know, and most people didn't know at that time. We had a farm sitting in Ohio. So we simply, it was harder, but we just simply collected from there and kept going through the season. But we were shut down for a little over 6 months. They had us quarantined. No animals, no urines, no scents. Nothing could leave this farm. Most companies don't have that ability of having multiple farms.
Sure.
especially in other states, we did. And so therefore, we were able to get the product to the hunters, but thank heavens we weren't at the volume we are today.
Now, we're talking with Doug Roberts about HeatSeeker. It's something that will be out 2017. The ability to use this kit to find out where and when there's a doe in estrus in your area, giving you maximum hunting time, and of course, the best opportunity to use your own sense, preferably VS1, because that's what we use, that's what we love. And Doug, I want to switch a little bit to the VS1. I was having a conversation with a friend that said that he had used it one time, and it wasn't so much the buck that it brought in, but the dominant doe of the group wondering, where the heck is this other doe coming from? Am I in competition? You know, yep. And I never even thought about that.
It's understanding the whitetail deer during the rut in the breeding cycle. Actually, we probably don't have enough time for it, so I'll try to make this quick. The dominant doe is going to control normally when that rut starts. She will be the first one that will come into heat, and she will seek out the dominant buck in that area to be bred by. Therefore, the two biggest, strongest whitetails in that area are going to breed and create better offspring. Then everyone else follows suit. But once she comes in the heat, it triggers the other does in that area to start coming into heat also. And so it's one of those things that once one starts, everybody else starts to follow. But it's normally started by that dominant doe. The hard part is, how do you always know which one is the dominant doe? And there may be two dominant does in the area because they live in family groups. And they may be totally different genetic groups that will breed within each other, and they will crossbreed, and that's why you have unique characteristics and consistent characteristics and antlers in certain areas.
Doug Roberts is our guest here from Conquest Sense. He is also known as the Deer Professor, because with your show, Conquest 200, you guys live around 200 deer year-round, and this is not something that, oh, we're going out to feed the deer, you know, type thing. It's a lot of work. It's a farm. It's a lot of work, and these are animals that you have to care for, and you know, hence your bread and butter, because not only are you raising these animals, but you're using them genetically, and you're using them for the products that you produce.
Correct. I mean, Karen and I sat up, well, it took us 2 days, and we finished the other night at 11 o'clock at night, restructuring our breeding programs based on the genetics of the females and the males, and which combinations do we do. And it takes time. It's a lot of work to reshuffle all of those deer and which ones come out of there and then are used in the scent collection. But each year we have to go through that process. That's where we're going to start on this week. We have 50-something bucks we have to de-antler because they're all our 1- and 2-year-olds. And then we got to restructure all the doe pens and put the right bucks in with them and sort all the fawns. So it's time consuming, and it's all based on weather. So cool weather, we're really wide open here on the farm this time of year.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts is our guest, Conquest Sense. Check him out. There's a link on our website. Doug, I want to ask you the impossible question. Okay. You can say no. But do you have a few more minutes for me to talk? Because we got October coming up. And I want to talk about the first week of bow season here. All right, we're going to stick around with Doug Roberts. Coming up next here, we're also going to talk with Chad Stewart of Michigan DNR. Deer number 8 was CWD found. That's all coming up here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell.
granddaddy's gun.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State, on radios and all over the world on podcasts everywhere. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/wildmichigan. All the links are at our website. Carrying over one more time with Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense, because over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Alaska. My wife and I heading to Alaska on a 10-day cruise for our honeymoon. And it's kind of one of those bucket list deals, and hopefully I'll be able to get some fishing done. But, you know, it's something you kind of work for and get to be able to do, unlike Doug, who never leaves the farm. Unless it's show season, that's coming up in January. But here we are. We talked earlier in the week, Doug, you and I, about antlers and deer shedding, how it seems to be a little bit delayed. And it was kind of funny because it's coinciding with what I saw in the news about peak fall colors in Michigan, how it's like a really week to 10 days behind.
Yep. Yeah, Duran, you know, I always look at the Farmer's Almanac. As long as I've looked at it growing up as a kid all the way through, it has always been extremely accurate. And what it shows is that we're supposed to have above average temperatures all the way through fall. And, you know, our bucks normally will start shedding out the middle of August to the end of August. And on this farm, it was extremely rare. We didn't have a single one in August. The first one happened the 1st of September, which is a week to 2 weeks later, which tells me the entire season, even the potential rut, is going to be slid back a week to 2 weeks later also. So it's very important for hunters to understand that when they're going to start scheduling these hunts around the hutter, the pre-rut, the rut time. It's going to be interesting to see. Now, in the last 4 days, like you and I were talking, this farm has just been bloody. They're shedding out everywhere. You know, just getting the velvet off and now getting ready for that period. But it's 2 weeks late.
You know, and kind of rare. And that leads me to ask the question now. What are the possibilities of maybe coming across something partially in velvet or even in velvet October 1st, which will be a Saturday? It'll be a nice, a good start here just a few weeks away.
There's always a chance. I think it's going to be pretty slim for hunters. They might find some bucks with some of the velvet left on. Normally, they take it all off all at one time. But, you know, occasionally, like we have one buck here that shed half of it off, and now he seems to be fine for a couple days, and then he might, a week from now, take the rest of it off, which is normally rare. But I would say for the most part, hunters are going to see completely polished bucks by the time October 1st runs around now. The youth hunt coming up this weekend, that's a different ballgame. There could be some velvet buck shot by kids during this youth hunt coming up.
Doug, let me ask the question that nobody wants to ask. They'll mumble it. They'll talk amongst themselves, and you know what the hell I'm going to ask. How does this affect everything? Look, there's going to be a lot of new scents in the woods, a lot of confusion, but it's only going to be for a short time. Is this going to alter the pattern of the deer? You're the expert, and there's going to be people that disagree, and I don't care about that. I just want to get what your opinion is.
Well, the youth hunt, what it will do, and I think it's a phenomenal hunt. I think it's something awesome that they've done to get the youth out ahead of time and let them experience it, because the deer are in their calm, natural patterns. What is it going to do? The older, more mature bucks that have been through the process are going to go, oh, I remember this. time to go hide. It is going to change their patterns. Now, you still have a couple weeks before October 1st. A lot of them will go back to their normal patterns for a short period of time. The biggest change that's going to happen in their patterns is going to be because of this cold front coming in towards the end of this week. It's supposed to come in tomorrow, or actually tonight. That actually changes their patterns quicker than anything else. But pressure, human pressure, hunter pressure, is the number one factor of changing deer patterns to being mostly nocturnal, because it is a learned thing. Deer don't remember everything, but they do. They can remember that from year to year, that all of a sudden the woods is filled with all these odd smells, human odors, campfires, you know, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It does change their patterns. Trust me, on this farm, when we start darting a few deer to deantler them, everybody else goes, I'm out of here.
Right.
Same thing happens out in the wild with hunters. Absolutely.
Well, and again, that was something that you know, just out of curiosity, and I probably ask it every year. But look, there's going to be rumblings. There's going to be people saying things without saying things. But you know what? We need to get these kids out, give them the opportunity. And, you know, and is it, look, I understand the side that says, you know, giving them the easiest opportunity. Hunting is never easy. I don't care what you say. Nope. There's nothing that's going to say, this is how it's going to be that easy. You know, you're going to sit by this tree and boom, it's good. The deer are going to walk right by here and boom. Okay. I had that my whole life until I started the show and learned, oh no, it doesn't work that way. You know?
Right.
So, you know, and yeah, big bucks can be taken. But you know what? Big bucks can be taken throughout all of bow season, through muzzleloader season, through firearm deer season. It's going to happen. Just as long as these kids pull the trigger by themselves and let the parents leave the kids to do the work themselves as far as the hunt. If they miss, they miss. Kids do not get discouraged. Side note, I was 40 when I took my first year, almost 40. Man, I probably was 40 by that time because, you know, I had been just miserably unsuccessful. Just how it goes, plain and simple.
Yeah, the wonderful thing about children is that they, if they miss, they're disappointed for the moment. And they get over it. They're ready to go out and try it again. As adults, we hold on to it.
We hold a grudge, man.
You know, we do. The best hunts I can remember are the ones that I missed and I screwed up on, not the ones that are hanging on my wall. Children are resilient, so I think it's amazing that we can get them out ahead of time. The deer are calm. Their patterns are simple. Will it change some of them? Absolutely. You know, you and I have talked about it. You can only control 90% of hunting. There's that 10% that deer has an advantage, that sixth sense that you will never control as a hunter. I don't care what you do, what you use.
Mm-hmm.
Try to control that 90%, and that doesn't mean you're 90% successful, but there you can handle 90% of that because 30% goes to their nose, 30% goes to their eyes, 30% goes to their ears. There's that 90%. You have to be a good hunter if you want to harvest that mature buck, the dominant buck, because he's wise to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, it's such an amazing feeling, and you've done everything right. So I don't care the size of the buck. It's to be congratulated. But, you know, we go to the buck poll here at Flint SCI, and to see the look on those kids' faces
is
worth more now than me honestly going hunting. Because once you do it, they're locked for life. They're absolute. Hunting is an addiction, and you will agree with me. It is. It's when you get hooked. I just was at a ranch this weekend with a doctor in his mid-40s, had never shot a deer.
Mm-hmm.
Just got into hunting a couple years ago, and we had the opportunity. He was able to take a doe. And let me tell you, the look on his face, and he looked right up at me, he goes, oh, I am so addicted. It's done. It's over with.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter.
Same thing with those kids. And we need to do that if we want to preserve the hunting heritage on through the ages after we're gone.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts, Conquest Sense, thank you so much, man, for all the info. Look for the Heat Seeker in 2017. Appreciate you joining us. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Thanks so much to Doug Roberts of Conquest Sense for joining us. I'm Duran Martinez, and we are being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there, man. The clearest lenses on the planet. Absolutely love my Costas, and they are helping us out, bringing you Wild Michigan today. And we have another state record fall. Another smallmouth bass record has fallen, and this time it was broken by a gentleman by the name of Bruce Kramer. Now, Bruce, let's first of all, welcome to the show. You're from Treasure Island, Florida, by way of Cincinnati, but I've been fishing Michigan since the mid-1960s. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
That's a resume.
So
you were fishing Indian River. Were you out? Were you out on a boat, or were you shore fishing, or what were you doing?
I was right on the shore.
Oh my gosh!
Right behind my cottage here.
Wait! You go from Florida to summer in Michigan. I can kind of see that, but you've got a cottage up there in Indian River, and what were you doing? I mean, were you flipping jigs? What were you doing?
I was actually fishing with night crawlers.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is the best. Now, last year, we had the opportunity to interview the young man that had broke a record that had stood for, you know, almost 70 years. And that record has fallen with your smallmouth, 9.98 pounds, 23.10 inches, and you caught it on a night crawler from the shore. That is amazing. Epic.
Now, with a number four hook.
it doesn't get any better than this. Bruce, were you just leisurely out there? You know what? Hey, I'm going to go dunk a worm and see what happens.
Well, I do that about every day out there, and I've caught some nice bass out there, but this was really unusual.
Seriously, I mean, were you bobber fishing, or were you just letting it float? What were you doing?
Well, I put a three-way rig on it so that I've got the sinker down and it holds the bait a little bit off the bottom because the gobies are so bad up here.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I thought a goby took me into the weeds, and because I pulled it and I was pulling as hard as I could, and it wasn't moving, and then all of a sudden it started shaking and took off.
Now when it took off, what was going through your mind at that point in time? Because that had to be, you know, like, wait a minute, I think I got a log or a weed or something. All of a sudden, it starts to move.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, wow, you know, this is probably a pretty good-sized fish, but I didn't have any clue. And he took drag out three or four times before I got him up to about 15 feet away when he broke water. And after he broke water, I realized how big he was. And then there's a little channel out here, and he took drag out and ran all the way up the channel. Then he came back by, and by that time, my neighbor Ron was out, and he saw him go by, and we knew it was a big fish.
Man, now to correct myself on this, the previous record that you broke was broken by Mr. Gasichel, and I remember talking to him. That record had stood for about 90 years, almost 90 years at this point. And it's like, it seems like, you know, his poor records lasted about 90 minutes after you come and land this monster, this monster smallmouth. Now, here, how long did it take you to land? Because I know you had some help netting it.
Probably about 15 minutes.
Really?
He probably took the drag out seven or eight times.
Wow. Now, who was your friend with you that netted the fish?
Ron Craig. He's my neighbor. I go fishing with him all the time. And his wife saw me out there fighting the fish, and so he came running out. I said, well, get that net, because this is a monster.
That's amazing. And, you know, it was kind of funny because we saw the post from our friend Dan Kimmel at GreatLakesBass.com. And this has all of a sudden, you know, gone from you guys landing this fish. You took it. Did you take it into town to have it certified?
Well, I originally just Ron said, you better take it up to Pat and Gary's, get it registered for the fish contest. So I took it up there. And when the girl weighed it, she said, you know, I think this might be a state record. And she got the book out, and I said, holy cow. So then I printed the DNR form, and it said you could have fresh or fresh frozen. So I threw it in the freezer for the night. because it was on 9/11 that I caught it, and nobody was around.
Oh, my gosh.
So then Monday morning, I called the DNR because I had to have a marine biologist sign off on it. And they came up from Gaylord. They drove up from Gaylord to do the official weighing. We took it over to Ken's Market and did the official weighing.
That's crazy. Now, all of a sudden, now you say, okay, it's official. I've had the biologist look at this. And I wonder, too, if there's any kind of weight loss or anything within that freezing process. You know, because there's a lot of water in those things, and maybe it contracted a little bit. But still, you now have a state record.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the Pat and Gary's didn't have an official scale, and theirs came up as 9.95. So when I took it down there the next day, it came up to 9.98. So it didn't lose anything.
All righty then.
Yeah.
That's excellent. And I remember, you know, like I said, I was speaking with Greg Gasichel about his catch last year. He was really kind of apprehensive to talk to anybody, but you've been really open. I mean, you have talked to, I don't know how many interviews you've done, because I know you've spoken with David A. Rose, a good friend of ours. You spoke with our good friend Dan Kimmel, and you probably are just like the talk of the state right now yet again.
Sounds like it.
Are you enjoying your instant of fame with this fish?
Well, yes, I am.
That's awesome. And you know what's so funny? And this proves to the kids, and I really have to say this, Bruce, you have proved to the kids you don't have to be 80 miles out on a boat to find the biggest fish.
Right.
You know, that is truly a testament to what we do as anglers and stuff. Now that you've got this state record, you're going to get it mounted, I'm assuming?
Yes, I am. I've already got it down at the taxidermist.
That's fantastic. A trip up here, you know, for your vacation in Michigan has turned into a state record. And we're going to talk to Dan Kimmel about this in a little while, but Michigan is really becoming well known for its smallmouth. And that 15-minute fight does not surprise me in the least, because they are a tremendous fish to fight. And when you get something that's almost 10 pounds, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was.
And so what's the next step? Who's on your agenda to be interviewing Bruce now?
Well, I don't know. I guess the DNR is going to do a press release either last night or today, and I have no idea who I might be talking to after this.
Well, I got a feeling, if you don't mind, we're going to pass your information on to our good friend Bill Parker over at Michigan Outdoor News, because this is definitely newsworthy for the state, and the press release has already hit. We shared your picture, and we'll be sharing this press release with your new state record smallmouth. And anybody else you want to give a shout out to? You're across the whole state of Michigan with us.
Yeah, no, Ron Craig, my neighbor, is the only one that really was involved with it. And he netted it for me, and he's the one that told me to get it up and get it weighed. So.
Now, I don't know if you were using Eagle Claw or Gamakatsu or whatever you're using, but I would let those folks know that you caught a state record on their number four hook.
Right, right. Well, and then I was using P-Line fluorocarbon line.
Sure.
And they said, I think the guy with the website said that they're one of his sponsors, so he's going to let them know.
Yep, Dan is a very great, very good guy. We've known him for a long time, and he does an awful lot for bass fishing here in the state of Michigan. And you, sir, with that new state record, are doing a lot as well, because not only will this news travel between Ohio and Florida, it's making huge news here in Michigan.
I'll bet. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Bruce, this will air over the weekend. We'll put it up on the podcast at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And I tell you what, I appreciate you joining us, because it's a great story. And, you know, to see another state record fall in Michigan, yeah, I kind of feel bad for the other guy, but he had it for a while, you know, and yeah. Now you have it.
Well, I think he got it in October of last year, and that was after, I thought it was 106 years or something like that.
Yeah, but my math is bad.
A lot of years.
You know what? You're right. It is 106 years. My math is just horrible today because it's too early in the morning for a radio guy.
Right. I understand that.
Well, sir, Bruce Kramer, living in Florida, vacationing here in Michigan, congratulations on your state record smallmouth. We appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Bruce Kramer. Danger Seeker. Being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, also Dart and Archery. Whole nother hour coming your way. Pick this all up on the podcast if you miss it on your local affiliate, wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.